I'm Robin, I'm the lead pastor. Welcome to Eastlake. We say it's a church for everyone. And we're in a series called Staying in Love, and it's not just for married people. It's for anyone that used to be married, wants to be married again, anybody that's in a relationship, wondering if I'm going to get married someday, or maybe you're just sort of wondering, well, I'm going to be in a relationship at some point, and I'll get married. And here's the question, is it possible for two people to stay in love forever? Can you get married, and is it possible for two people to always stay in love? I mean, all you need is a pulse to fall in love. But once you're in love, the question is, how do I stay in love? Now, in this series, we're answering the question, is it possible to stay in love forever? Absolutely. It is possible. And last week, we talked about, well, there's a problem because most of us have never seen anybody that's been able to stay in love. I've seen lots of people that stay married. That doesn't mean that they stayed in love. And then there's this list that the experts put together. These are the things that you need to get when you're a kid. When you're growing up, you're supposed to experience all these things if you're going to be prepared to stay in love. You know, you haven't seen anybody that stayed in love, so I'm not prepared. It's really hard to do something you've never seen anybody else do. But then listen to this list. It's kind of overwhelming. Respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance, security, support, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. So if you don't get gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs of that, then you're not prepared to stay in love. Now here's the other problem. The other problem is you have to meet someone that's experienced respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance, security, blah, 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 or they're not prepared to stay in love. And so here's what actually happens. Because we have an emotional deficit, we go into the relationship, and instead of trying to give that, here's what we really do. We try to get respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance, security, support, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. I mean, it starts out, they're just cute, and they have really nice nails or something if they're a girl. But the truth is that at some point it's like, hey, I need you to give me respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance. I need that. And if I don't get it, you're not looking as cute anymore. What happens is we go into marriage and we try to get something, and it's always difficult to love someone that you're trying to get something from. Because you're always judging and measuring it, and when they don't give it to you, you don't love them anymore. Now, Jesus speaks into all this craziness, and let me read you something he said. It's kind of the theme of this series. Here's how he says it. Someone asks him, what is this thing about love, and how do you do it? And Jesus says this. Put it up on the screen there so we can see it. It's not in your notes, but a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And here's what he's saying just really, really simply, this theme of this whole series. It's not about getting love, it's about giving love. If you want to stay in love forever, the whole key to it is to give love instead of trying to get love. Now today we're going to talk about men and women. What it is for a man to receive love. The whole idea is like if you're a man today, this is sort of like your Sunday, how does a man feel loved? And the problem is men and women feel loved so differently. When a man loves a woman, a man normally loves a woman like he would want to be loved. And if you talk to a woman about the perfect man, they'll normally describe a woman. And so like today we're going to talk about men and how is it that you love a man. Look at your notes there. It's the big idea. Love from the perspective of a man. So kind of talking to the girls today and saying, hey, when it comes to men, you're going to be with a man someday. It could be brothers or dads or anything, but primarily a husband or a boyfriend or something. How do you love the dudes? How does that occur? And you'll look in your notes there. We're going to read some stuff. And so here goes the first one. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help, circle help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And here's the problem. Men don't really like to get help. Write in your notes, men want respect. And for a man, if they're going to be loved by a woman, it has to leave them with their respect. Because oftentimes it's difficult for a man to ask for help, because when you ask for help, it feels like I'm not worthy of your respect. Which makes it tricky for girls, because they're trying to figure out, how do I help that guy? And a lot of times guys don't want help. I mean, they fall down and they don't want anybody to know they've fallen down. They don't want any help, because when a man has to ask for help, when a man has to ask for your help, or you try to help a man, it can cause him to feel like he could lose your respect. So it's hard to help a dude when he falls down. Years ago, these people came by, so-called friends, and they toilet papered my whole house. So I came out in the morning, and the whole thing is just caked with toilet paper everywhere, and I was like, oh, crap. You know, so I go out, and I start cleaning this thing up, and they had taken rolls of toilet paper and thrown it up in the tree in the front yard, and it's all strung around there. So I go in the house, I get a chair, I come out, I jump in the chair, I jump into the tree, and I start grabbing these rolls of toilet paper and throwing them down, you know, and there's this one roll of toilet paper that's way out on the edge, and so I'm sort of shimmying out on the branch a little bit, getting closer, and all of a sudden I hear a crack, and the next sound I heard was a thud, and that was me hitting the sidewalk, you know, right underneath the tree, and I'm just laying there, and I'm just like, it was about a 15-foot fall, you know, I'm just laying there going, oh, I'm all right, it feels like my ankle's broken. And I hear this woman's voice from across the street. Hey, are you okay over there? Man, I mustered every bit of strength that I had, and I pop up with a big smile on my face and say, yeah, I'm good. Nothing to see here, girl. Move along. I'm fine. And she turns her back, and I just collapse right there again. Crawl into the house. Clarice comes in the living room. What happened to you? I said, there's been an accident. You know, I'm sweating. And there's not, you know, there's no alcohol in the house. And so I looked at her, I said, get the NyQuil. Bring it over here, you know. And here's the thing. I know this seems strange to women, but when you try to help a man, it doesn't always make him feel loved. Sometimes it actually makes him feel like a failure. And for women, you know, the solution is always the same. Let's talk. And you need to know something. For me to talk about my problems doesn't always make me feel good. Now, I know if you're a girl here today, that sounds so weird. It's like, are you kidding me? Do you mean when you talk to me and open up about your life and tell me about your problems that it doesn't make you feel better? And it's like, not always. Actually, it could be like nails on the chalkboard sometimes. Because you know what? If we're having to talk about my problems, it means I don't have my crap together. And if I don't have my crap together, you may not respect me. And respect is huge for me. It's different for you, I understand. For girls to talk and everything, it's amazing. It took me a long time to learn with Clarice that oftentimes you don't even have to fix the problem. If you can just sit and talk for a half hour and just listen and talk and nod and don't interrupt and just talk and listen and listen and talk and listen, and in your mind you're going, when are we getting to the part where we're fixing the problem? That's the trap, men, don't go there. So just listen, and then you get all done listening and talking, and sometimes it goes into your favorite game or something, but don't go there, just keep listening. And then when you're done, they're like, I feel so much better, and you walk away and it's just crazy. You're like, how could that be? The problem's not even fixed. Well, that's a girl. Dudes are not that way. So you have to be careful. It can be very, very tricky to help a man. And I'm not saying this is good, by the way. A lot of the talk today will be descriptive, not prescriptive. So like if you're a guy today and you know you're with someone, it's not a license to not talk, because it's not good that we're like that. But here's the truth. Girls, we're not talking about you today. That's next week. We're not talking. This is the day where you get to see from the perspective of a man. And for a man, it can be very difficult to talk. It doesn't always fix everything and make them feel better. So when you reach out to help them, here, write in your notes, girls, this is all I'm saying, make certain that you leave them their respect. That's the main thing. The point of it is not to connect and talk. The point of it is that they feel respected. Before anything else happens, what needs to be left behind for men is they feel respected. It's a big challenge for girls, and it's the opportunity that's yours, is to somehow find a way in that you can be with them and help them, and at the same time they feel loved, but they feel respected. They're not disrespected, they feel respected. Okay, let's keep reading. So the second thing here, start out in verse 11. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, circle that, but how can one be warm alone? And number two, men have emotions, and we all know men have emotions because we've seen them. We've seen the anger, and we've seen the frustration. We've seen all the emotions that come with it. We've seen all that. We know men have emotions, but men have more emotions than just anger. So maybe you're a girl, and you grow up in a home, and your mom's all the time, shh, you're going to make your father mad. And it just seems like that all the time. It's like anger, frustration. That's all the emotions they have, but it isn't all the emotions that men have. Men have a heart too. They have all the emotions that you have. They're just different. Even Jesus had emotions. I want to read you something out of his story. This isn't in your notes, but I just want to read this to you. Jesus has a best friend. His name is Lazarus. And Lazarus gets really super sick, and he dies. And Jesus shows up late. So the family is hoping Jesus is going to come because maybe he'll do one of his miracle things and Lazarus won't die. But he shows up late and Lazarus dies anyways. And so the sisters come to Jesus. Listen to what they say. The Mary, the sister, reached the place where Jesus and saw him. She fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. That's a pretty heavy thing. Can you imagine being the type of person? This is Jesus' life. You walk up and someone says, it's your fault that he died. If you'd have just got here on time, what's up? You stopped to get something to eat? What happened? If you'd have got, I mean, that's a lot of pressure that he carried. The sister comes up, not how are you, your friend died. It's your fault that my brother died. So, you know, emotions are stirring. Well, let me just ask you this question, ladies in the room. How does it make you feel when somebody comes up and says, it's your fault? And it's not your fault. Or guys, that's Jesus in the story. Okay, it's your fault, Jesus. So here it is right here. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He said. That's kind of odd. Where's he at? I want to see him one last time. Where is Lazarus, my friend? Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. He cried. And dudes, let's face it. For a lot of us, we were raised up on heroes that don't cry. They fall 12 stories, fall right on their head. They bounce up. I'm good. Everything's fine. Get shot 100 times in the movies. Lose their girlfriend. Lose their friends. They never cry. But Jesus cried because he had emotions. And so do we have emotions. They look different than a woman's. Let me show you a good picture of a man. I brought this along today. Here, like if you're like with a dude, just think of this Kleenex box right here. Because a lot of times guys carry their emotions like this Kleenex box. It's kind of rigid on the outside, and it's kind of, hard and stiff and pointy. You can certainly get jabbed in the eye with this and everything. But really on the inside, it's all soft. And that's a dude right there. Right there is a man. Yeah, on the outside, yeah. It's kind of stiff right there and everything. But inside, just as soft as you. Why do I want you to know this? What does this have to do with loving a man? Men are not Tupperware. And I know they seem like they are. Throw them around, it doesn't matter, everything's okay. They're not. They're just as soft as you are on the inside. On the outside, maybe not. But on the inside. I can't tell you how many men, I worked at a nursing home when I was a younger man. And I would talk to these men that were very, very old now in their 70s and 80s, and they'd lived their whole life trying to get respect, and they'd been the tough guy, and they always had the answers, and they always fixed everything. Now they're older now, and they can see death coming, and I would sit with them. Part of my job was just to visit and talk with them, and I would sit with them, and their eyes would well up in tears, and they would start to cry. They'd say, I wish I would have been closer to my sons. I wish I would have treated my wife different. I wish I would have spent more time with my friends. I don't know how I made the mistakes I made. Now I'm at the end of my life right now, and I don't even know if I'm sure anybody loved me. Why? Because on the inside, we're just as soft as you are. Now, it's a challenge to get through this outside, for sure. It is. There's a baby crying next door, so just ignore that. Don't worry about that. That's a little baby that's working on their lungs. They'll be just fine. This is our room here, so little things. There's an African folk tale that they've turned into a children's book. And in this African folk tale, there's this lion. And this lion is alongside the road. It's roaring and yelling out and, it's growling. And all the animals avoid this lion. It's like, whoa, there's a lion down there, and he's really mad about stuff. And rawr, and everything. And, the baboon and the giraffe and the elephant, they all go way around the lion. The lion's angry. Lions are kind of a piece of work anyways. But now a mad lion. And then the mouse comes by. And the mouse is looking at the lion, and all of a sudden he sees that the lion has a thorn in its paw. So he stops long enough to get into position, and he finally convinces the lion, listen, I can help you. I get no, really, I can. I can. And I'm not saying that women are a mouse. But I am saying that sometimes a man is like a lion with a thorn in his paw. And something's hurting him. And finally, the mouse is able to get the thorn out of the paw. And the lion isn't angry anymore. And that's the job a lot of times for women. Men have a thorn in their paw. They don't want anybody to see it. They don't want to admit it. It feels disrespectful. They don't like telling anyone. It makes them feel weak. All things men hate, by the way. A lot of the things that women love, men don't. I'm so vulnerable, and I just want to hold you. And it's like, I hate that feeling. And once the thorn is gone, if you're in a relationship or you have a husband, a guy can pick up a thorn in one day. A guy can carry a thorn from his childhood. And all you see is the anger. And here's the problem. Men go from hurt to anger so quickly. And sometimes all you see is the anger. And you can easily miss that there's something hurting them. And so what it says in this little part of the Bible, it says that men have to warm up to the idea. They got to warm up to it. Women have to help them warm up to the idea of talking about their problems. It does not come naturally for men to talk about their problems or even show you the thorn. They have to warm up to it. And I know it's so different because women are just ready right now to talk about their problems. Let's sit down and talk. We'll have a cup of coffee. And you have to warm up to it. Men aren't like you are. You have to warm us up to the idea of talking. You know what's so ironic about life is men and women are so different when it comes to talking and sex. I mean, men don't have to warm up to the idea of sex at all. I mean, you could be on an 18-mile hike with your husband and sweaty and stinky, and you can stop for 1 second to get a drink of water, and all you do is touch his arm, and he's looking for a soft spot in the trail thinking, we may have some sex right here. No warm-up time needed at all for a man when it comes to sex. Zero warm-up time needed. Now, women, it's like they need a runway and a warm-up time for sex to happen. Warm up, warm up, warm up. And if you're a dude here and you're married to a woman that is the exception to the rule and she doesn't need to warm up at all, the rest of us men hate you. Because we're with a normal woman. Women, why am I saying it? To allow you to connect with something, because we're different that way. I know it seems crazy. What do you mean we got to warm up the talk? That's ridiculous. We're not like you. Just to think of the warm-up time that you need to be comfortable and safe physically. It's the same way we feel emotionally. And a lot of men make mistakes when it comes to sex with their wives because they don't respect the fact that there's a warm-up time. Men are so weird when it comes to sex. They're like a microwave. They just heat up fast and cool down quick. You know, just like, poof. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting with men and women in marriage counseling, and she goes, he's the same way every time. He just have sex and roll over and go to sleep. I'm like, girl, he's like a microwave. The bell goes off, you're done. And the girl's like, well, I'm not. I need to connect emotionally and be warmed up, and men make that mistake all the time. And women, hear me out. It's the same for you. Let's talk. It's like, you better warm us up. Or we're going to do the same thing that you do to us when we say, I'm home, how about some sex? You're like, warm up emotionally. Now, the third thing is, and flip your notes over, men need success. Let's read a little bit of the Bible. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And you got one when you came in, a triple braided cord. Notice the imagery back to back. So one's facing this way and then one's facing that direction. And that's what's so crazy, because each person sees the world so differently. And here's the difficult part. Listen now, catch this. When you're standing back to back, neither of them can see what the other person sees. So the advantage of that, of course, is that when you're standing back to back, they can see the world in a whole different way than I can see, but I can't see any of it. So I'm busy telling them what the world looks like, and they're busy telling me what the world looks like, and then the disagreements start and all the fighting starts because they see the world from a different perspective than I do. And the only way, catch this, the only way I'll ever see what they can see is to trust them. Because this is the world that I see, and this is the world that they see. And the only way I'm going to ever be able to connect, relate in any way with what they see, because I'll never see it, is to trust them. When Clarice and I first got married, she was on spot. She wanted to build family memories. It was way before social media and all that kind of stuff. It were a lot harder back in those days. We go way back. And so, you know, you had to do a lot of stuff to build family memories. And, you know, you actually, you know, be together. You just couldn't Photoshop somebody in. Anyways, family memories. And, you know, she starts off with Christmas and all the birthday parties and all the things she's planning and all the stuff. And you know, I kind of get it, but I'm looking this direction. We're back. I cannot see where she's coming from. And she wants to get the perfect Christmas tree. Listen, dudes, have you ever, all day long, we go to every Christmas tree lot to find the perfect Christmas tree, and we end up going back to the first lot we ever went to and picking the first tree from 5 hours ago. I'm not a nice person at that point. But we're building a memory. I can't see that. And then, you know, here was the big thing. We're going to go out and cut down our Christmas tree. So we go way up in the mountains, and every year everybody's supposed to get to pick out the Christmas trees and be so great. We're going to have a, you know, a little cheap cup of hot chocolate, and we're going to have this great time out. So we go out there, and we, you know, first, this is what I didn't realize. The agreement was that we all got to cut down the tree, so it's your turn to get down the tree. I didn't realize that she had veto power every year. So, you know, you pick the tree. No, not that one. Nope, Mom, not that one. Nope, that. Well, I got a certain place in the house where finally we pick this tree she wants us to pick. And, you know, three dudes in my house, one girl. So she's not getting a lot of help from us when it comes to building memories. We're like, why can't we just get pizza for Christmas and call it good? I mean, I don't see it all. No, we're building a memory. We cut it down. We got to this place. You had to put the tree onto the car at this place. So I'm tying it onto the top of the car, and Clarice is off to the side. I don't think that's going to hold. I don't think you got that on there, Clarice. So listen, in my mind, I'm thinking, I was a Boy Scout. I know how to tie up stuff, man. I'm fine. You know, 5 minutes down the road, we see the tree off the side of the car flapping against the things and everything. It's like three times I had to stop on the way home because the tree is flying off, you know. Then we get home. Of course, here we are, back to back. She can see things I can't see. I fly open the garage door. Plus, I know I have hell to pay anyways. Got to put the stupid stand on the bottom of it, which I hate. So this is all going on. I'm supposed to be like really good in all this, you know. It's going to be just fine. And garage door, she goes, I think the tree is too high. It's going to scrape. It's not going to scrape. I hit the gas. So, you know, I do what any guy does, force it. I just hit the gas a little harder, go into the garage. I get out. Branches are all busted off the tree and everything. She gets out. I'm so pissed off. She'll talk like that sometimes, like a guy. I'm so mad about this. I got to get a glue gun now and everything. And we take the tree off there. And here's my point. I think there is one. I'm getting there for it. In hindsight, I'm so glad that she had those perspectives that I never had. And I'm so glad now that I have all the memories, and I'm so glad now I catch all the glimpses. And I know that probably feels very warm and fuzzy as you listen to me say it, but the truth of it is I was such a pain in the ass so many times. Just a pain in the butt. And something you need to know as women, I'm just going to put it out to you straight. Sometimes you're a man and you can just be a pain in the butt over stuff that you know is important that you want to do because from your perspective, you can see it. And you're saying, here's where we need to go, here's where we go, and they begrudgingly go. And the whole time along the way, they're just a pain in the butt. I was a huge pain in the butt many, many times. But here's the great thing about Clarice. And I want to say it to you. Very important, girls. This was the big part of it. She never gave up on me. And sometimes the greatest way that you can love a man is to just not give up when he is such a pain in the butt. Because guess what? He's just wired so different than you. And he sees things from over here. He's like, why don't we just pay someone to put the lights up, have some pizza, and be good. Get to bed about 7, have some sex, wake up well-rested. Merry Christmas. That's what he sees. And that sounds great. But there's no memories, there's no scrapbooks, there's no funny stories that happened, the kids didn't have anything. All that would be gone. And so as you help him see your place over here, to not give up on him. We're having a good time over there, we'll go to church over there. All right, write the last thing in over here, right here. The bottom line, if people give both love, both people get love. If both people give love, both people get love. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I have these friends, Gloria and Alger, and Alger was a workaholic. He worked too much, he wanted to be respected. And I'll be home at 5 o'clock, he's home at 6:30. I'll be home at 7 for dinner, honey, he's home at 9 o'clock. Always late, work, driving crazy. She does everything. She cuts the sex off, she nags him, calls his mom, everything she can think of. This is ridiculous, I'm not living like this. And she can't change him. I'm sorry, I won't happen again. Happens again. So finally, out of desperation, she starts praying. And she said, Jesus, what am I supposed to do? Well, don't give up on him. I'll give you the strength. And he gave her a plan. And in this plan, Alger came home again late, comes in through the front door, head hanging down, walks into the living room, and Gloria stopped him. And she said, Alger, I want you to know something. And listening to her tell the story, they're both in the room. She said, Alger, if you never change, I'm never leaving. I will never give up on you. It was exactly the opposite of what he was expecting. Now, in this part of the scripture where it talks about there's two and then there's one braided in, if you have a little cord, just look at that just for a second. Because you might be here today and you might be thinking, well, gosh, I want a marriage like that, or I want to be able to do those things. Those all sound really, really good to me. I want to do that. But look at this cord, because there's three strands in this. There's two black ones and there's a red one. And the red one represents Jesus. And it's stronger with three than it is with two. And the idea with this, what it's saying in the scripture, is that when two people are together, the third person in the relationship, Jesus, is what often holds it together. And here's why. Because Jesus never gives up on us. I'm not sending you out here today as a girl and he's been a pain in the butt all week and say, just smile and be in a nightgown and don't give up on him. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you probably should be frustrated and you probably should be feeling, don't touch this sweet thing. And you probably should be thinking, you know, I'm so crazy, I've given up. Probably should, because we're pains in the butt at times. And guess what? You're pain in our butt too sometimes, because you're different than us. That's not the point. The point is, when Jesus is in the middle of the relationship, he doesn't give up on us. I'm not sending a girl out of here today saying, don't give up on your husband. That's not my message. Here's my message. Jesus is not giving up on you. That's the message. The third person in the relationship, that's the message. So you might be a woman here today and it's with your own father or your brother or somebody you used to be married to or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever. I mean, you're in something right now and it's not going well. It feels like it could break, or it already broke, or it's going to break something. You can see it coming. And what we're saying is, the third person in relationship will make it strong enough. The third person.